All right, take your Bible. Let's go into the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I got a lot to say. I'll preach fast, you listen fast. Amen. And we'll try to cover as much ground as we can. I preached on a message last Sunday night and give you the way how God's going to do the things and bring it out even through the millennium and come on down. And then I'm going to bring the same message tonight, but I'm going to get it out of the Old Testament. And I hope that you see that tonight. God got these two books, Old Testament and New Testament, the Old Covenant and New Covenant. Amen. And both of them correspond. Neither one contradicts. If you don't get one, you won't get the other. But you got to have them both. Amen. One explains the other. Thank God for it. I preach out of the Old Testament about as much as I do out of the New Testament. Maybe more out of the Old Testament. But that's rightly so. There's 39 books over there. 26 in the New. So I got more to preach out of. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians, you won't have to stand tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to read one verse because this is the title of the message. And we've been using this as we've been going. This will be the Jew, the Gentile, and the church. This will be lesson study number 14. So this is the 14th time we've been on this subject. I thought it was going to be a little short thing, but God has turned our minds around. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. 1 Corinthians 10, 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. These are the three entities in the Bible, and you take out those three, you're going to mess the whole thing up. If you add anything to it, it's going to mess it up, so you just leave it alone. Amen. God's got it. The Jew, the Gentile, and the church, and they all figure in, and God's got His certain ways of doing it. Let's pray. Father, give us wisdom tonight. Give us understanding. Thank You for the Spirit of God that's already touched us in the song service. Lord, in the choir, before the choir sat down. And then, Lord, in the specials and the musicians, Lord, as they played. Oh, it's been glorious. Thank You, Lord, that there's going to be a golden daybreak for us. Thank You, Lord, that we can sit down together one day after a while in the presence of You, Lord, in a glorified body. And for once, we'll be able to tell You, Lord, and say more than we can say down here. Our minds cannot comprehend. Our hearts cannot contain. But God, we're glad that one day after a while we'll see You, and the Lord, there we'll stand in Your divine holy presence. What a glorious time for us to think about. We'll give You the praise. Touch us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Take your Bible now. Turn to Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22. I'm going to take chapter 22, chapter 23, chapter 24, chapter 25 tonight. Amen. You said, oh, we're going to stay in that. Yeah, we're going to preach out of that tonight. And get the same thought that we got last Sunday night. I pray that the Lord will help us. And just getting into it, we don't have time to waste. Genesis chapter 22. This is the story of Abraham offering up his son. The Bible said in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, and that means test, not try to tempt him to sin. And that talking about temptation and testings. That's what the word temptation is sometimes, and tempt means to test. He tested the faith of Abraham. He said that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, and I like this, behold, here I am. Amen. Would to God that you'd speak every time He spoke to you like that. Verse number 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son. Now you said he already had another. That's the only son of promise though. Amen. Hey, Isaac is the only son of promise. Amen. He said, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And then it said, then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now the story goes on, and I'll try to look at it and tell you the story as we go down through it to looking at it. This is a picture. Isaac is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us know that tonight. He's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son, the only begotten Son of God the Father. You've got to believe that. We've got people in this world that will not accept that, will not believe that, but Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of the Father. And when He came to dwell upon this earth, it was God. He was God in the flesh. And He did not just begin to believe, be in that time. He has always been and always will be. You must believe that Christ is eternal. Amen. And so you've got to believe that. So let's go and look at this. So what happens? He leaves them there. He takes Isaac up on top of that mountain and gets ready to take his life. And you remember, Isaac has said, we've got the fire, we've got the wood, and all this, but where's the sacrifice? And if you'll notice what it said in verse number 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. I remind you that the Bible said that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Brother, he was obedient to God, he believed God. Abraham had faith. He's got recorded in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham went out, not knowing where he was going, looking for a city whose builder and maker's God. Brother, he didn't know where he was going. Told Sarah to go. She went with him. So we find the story here, and it's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we go on, and we find in verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now he was not just a little child, as some people have always thought about it, being that way. He was old enough to carry the wood. He is old enough to carry some of the substance. Matter of fact, I believe he is an adult. I believe he is grown. Amen. You can believe what you want to. We won't argue about the age of this man. But I believe he was well able in knowing what he's doing. And he went there. And so when he was put on the altar, I want to show you something here. The Bible said, listen, I believe he is able enough to fight against his own dad if he'd wanted to. I believe he could have refused to do it. But I want to remind you this. The Bible said in verse number 9, he laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay him. He is fixing to kill his son. Amen. Now let me tell you, I believe tonight that Abraham believed that he was going to take the life of that son. And by the time he got that done, he would watch his son rise again. Now you can say, I don't believe that, preacher, but I do. I've got some scripture I'll back that up with and I look at it. And hold your place in Genesis 22. Go with me to the Hebrews chapter 11. Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. You see, I believe that Abraham believed God just enough that he knew that if he took the life of his son, there was going to be a resurrection. Amen. You said, where do you find that? In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 19. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 19. The Bible said, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. What happened? Abraham believed that if he took his life of his son, God would raise him up. That's actually what I believe Abraham was looking for. And so when he raised the knife to take the life of his son, God said, Abraham. And this time Abraham cried back out in Genesis 22 and verse 11. He said, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Then God tells him not to take his life of his son. Amen. And then we find in verse number 13 that Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Wasn't caught by its feet. Wasn't caught by its legs. It was caught by its horns because God wants a perfect spotless sacrifice. And if it had been caught by the legs, it had been bleeding and scratched. Brother, he's caught by the horns not to have a blemish on him. And he took that lamb or that ram and offered him in Isaac's stead. Amen and amen. Now I want to give you three things here that I need you to get in your mind. First of all, God wants a willing sacrifice. Thank God Isaac was a willing sacrifice. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when He came to die on the cross of Calvary, He willingly laid down His life and He willingly took it up again. No man killed Him. They did not murder the Son of God. He rose Himself again. Brother, He laid Himself down. He was willing. I don't believe they had to make Him lay there. I believe He laid there while they drove the nails in His hands and the nails in His feet. And they raised that cross and put it in the hole. And I believe He pulled the flesh. And when He got up on the cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. He willingly. And Isaac was a willing sacrifice. He laid down and his dad put him on there. The second thing that I want to point out about this, and I believe we ought to see it, is that not only that, but we'll see that he was not only a willing sacrifice, but he was a sacrifice that was raised up. Amen. Matter of fact, he went through the type of death. Now he was not killed, But he went through the type of death, being dead. And then we find he came through as a part of a resurrection. Amen. So we find Isaac is a type of Jesus Christ in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now that's a story everybody knows. Now we're going to slow down and try to pick it out and show you the way it works here. And I want you to look at this. We're going to use our Bible. Some of the stories, what I've just told you, most everybody here has heard it a half a dozen times or a dozen times, and it's nothing new to you. But I want to show you some things tonight that most folks will overlook. Go with me, in here with me, to chapter 22, and slide down to verse number 19. I want you to mark verse 19 in your Bible. The Bible said, "So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba." All right, what's that saying? Abraham come back down off the mount. He's done been to the death, burial, and resurrection, so to speak, of Christ. Amen, a type of that. Now, can you tell me where Isaac is? Did you notice Isaac does not say anything about Isaac coming back down off the mountain? I believe he did. He came back with his father. I honestly believe he came right back with him. There was no delay. But can I show you this? Isaac is not mentioned anymore for a while in the book of Genesis. Now, why is that? Because I want to go down and show you something else. Well, look with me. There's another person coming on the scene. You'll find that we got a little genealogy coming up. Go down to verse 20. "And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor." Now, he's talking about his brother Nahor now, or God is. He said, "Huz his firstborn, and Buz his brother, and Kemuel the father of Aram, and Chesed, and Hazel, and Pildash, and Jedlab, and Bethuel." Now I want you to look at verse 23. Why did God stop and put this genealogy there? In verse 23 it said, "And Bethuel begat Rebekah." Amen. Now did you see that? Didn't say anything about these others in there too much, but look at this little word, Rebekah. Underline that word, Rebekah. This is the first time you find her name mentioned. Somebody else is beginning to come on the scene. Now, who was Rebekah? We're going to talk about her in just a minute. She is the wife of Isaac. He don't know about it yet. Amen. All right. It's the bride of Isaac. Now, where's Isaac at? I believe he's back around business. Amen. But as far as Scripture's concerned, and God chose to put it that way, he's off the scene. And here, when he's off the scene, he's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ that has ascended back up into heaven. You getting this? All right, he's a type of Jesus Christ. He's done went through the death, the burial, and the resurrection. He's not come back off the cross. Guess what happened? Brother, there's a type now that he's ascended up into heaven. Now, Isaac didn't ascend into heaven. God just left this portion out to let you see. Amen. And to show you and give you the typology. Isaac is still there, but he's not mentioned anymore. God's got him out of the Scriptures. He's not in the scene no more. They're not talking about Isaac anymore. Hey, chapter 22 has dealt with Isaac, but now Isaac is off the scene. The picture's being turned. So go to chapter 23. We got rid of one of the chapters tonight. Let's see the others. In chapter 23, the Bible said, "And Sarah," who's Sarah? Sarah is the mother of Isaac, the wife of Abraham. "And Sarah was 127 years old." 127. These were the years of the life of Sarah. Notice verse 2. "And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan." Notice verse 2 again, or rest of it. "And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying," notice with me please in verse number 4, "I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead," notice the next words, "out of my sight." Amen. You say, what is that? All right, look at the significance. The first thing happens here, and after it's happened in chapter 22, the death, burial, and the resurrection of type of Jesus Christ through Isaac, we find now that Sarah's died. The first thing on the agenda of Abraham now is to bury Sarah out of his sight. That's what we do when we have a loss of a loved one. And he said, "I got to get a burying field." So chapter number 23 deals with a burying plot for Abraham's family. Look in verse number 20. and the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. So now we see what's happening. He's going to bury Sarah out of his sight. Now, let me just share this. I'm going to throw this in right quick, and then I'm going to run to some scriptures to prove it. This is a type of the Jew being Sarah. And now what's happened? The Jew has refused the Lord Jesus in the New Testament and rebelled against God, and God said, I'm going to cut him off. Now guess what happens? Brother, God has cut the Jew off tonight. Where's she at? Brother, she's on the sideline. God has not destroyed the Jew. God's not forgot the Jew. But the Jew's on the sideline tonight, and God's not dealing with the Jew. I preached to you last week that God's dealing with the church tonight. He's not dealing with the Jew now. He's dealing with the church. He's not dealing with the Gentile in particular as a whole, but He's dealing with the church, and the church is made up of Jew and Gentile who has got saved by the grace and of Christ and through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the church is made up of both. Will you see that tonight? Now, take your Bible and turn with me and look at some prophecies that we have not dealt with. Matthew chapter 21. Hold your place in Genesis. Or you'll be a thumb in back tonight before I get... I'll get back there before you will. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. I'd like to slow down, but I've got a lot to tell you, and I don't want to be here all night. Matthew chapter 21. The Bible teaches us in chapter 21. I want you to look at two verses in chapter 21. Verse number 42 and verse number 43. Mark these in your Bible. Matthew chapter 21. Verse 42 and 43. I'd like you to see what the Bible says, not what this preacher thinks. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? Who is that? Isn't that the Lord Jesus? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The one that has been rejected is the chief cornerstone. He's the one that is the chief of the corner. He said in verse 43, therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. He's talking to the Jew. He said, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. What's he doing? He said, I'm going to take it from you. I'm going to give it to the Gentiles. They rejected Christ, and Christ gave His work and the kingdom. And brother, we're in the kingdom tonight. I'm not talking about the kingdom that they is going to have, but we're in the kingdom and the work of God tonight. And we know tonight that the church is God's one that He put there. God put the church where the church is. Now go over to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, a chapter or two over. When you get to chapter 23, look at verse number 37. 23 and 37. This is Jesus, and He's crying and lamenting over Jerusalem. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not? The Lord said, I want to gather you up. I want to put you under my wing. I want to protect you. I want to give you a kingdom. I wanted to be your God. I wanted to be your leader. I want you to be your king. But you would not. Verse 38, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth. He said, guess what? You're not going to see me anymore for a while. He said, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He said, you're not going to see me no more until I come back, is what he's saying. He said, hey, you're not going to see me anymore until I come back. Now, let's go to a little better place and look at something else in the book of Acts, please. Go to Acts chapter 13. Preached out of Acts 13, the first portion of this the other day. But out of Acts chapter 13, give you time to turn your Bible. I want you to see this. Acts chapter 13, we find now the church is being installed, it's being empowered, and the Lord's using the church now. And the church, the first portion of the church was made up mainly of Jews. And then later, it went to the Gentiles. And now we have Gentile and Jew in the church today. Amen. Not many Jews get in anymore because they will not receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But they can be saved. But the Gentiles are the ones that are coming, and most of them now are refusing the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in the last days. In Acts chapter 13, look at verse 44. And the next Sabbath, they came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God. I ain't never seen that, have you? How about the most, almost the whole city comes in. Wouldn't that scare us to death up here? The Bible said, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, who saw the multitudes? The Jews. So this must have been Gentiles. Amen. Right? They were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Brother, they got disturbed. Amen. Now look at verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the... Say it with me. There you go. So you're staying with me. That's why I like for you to tell me what I'm saying the next word. I want to make sure you're not sleeping while I'm preaching. Amen. Verse number 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. What's he saying? I set you, Paul, to get in here to give the Gentiles the job to bring the souls in. That's what he's saying, plain as day. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life. Notice verse 49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. What did God do? The Jews rejected Him, and God gave them the work. And our job is on our hand tonight to win the lost. Amen. Go to Acts chapter 28, the last chapter of the book of Acts. Amen. Acts 28. I'll give you time to turn. In Acts chapter 28, I want you to read with me in verse 24. Read these scriptures again when you get home tonight. They'll be a blessing to help you. All right? In Acts chapter 28, look at verse number 24. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. Amen. That's the same way it is today, even with the Gentiles. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After what Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet, or Isaiah, unto our father, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Look at verse 28. I want you to pay attention to verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. God has laid it out plain that He's going to give the job to the Gentile. Go back with me now to Genesis. We're going back to Genesis. Amen. And we're going to chapter number 24. Then chapter 23, what's happened? Chapter 23, Abraham's buried his wife Sarah. It's a type of cutting off the Jew and putting him off to the side. And now God said, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to bury Israel out of my sight. And that's basically what God has done for this present age. He's buried Israel out of his sight. Now listen, God's not against the Jew. These people think they can blow the Jews off the face of the earth over there. Coming up here tonight, I heard a commentator on the radio said, if they ever destroy Israel, America is next. And I punched my wife and I said, they'll never destroy Israel. But America may be next. Amen. They'll never take Israel off the face of the earth. Amen. These folks that believe they can annihilate the Jew, they need to read their Bible. Wake up. The worms have laid eggs in their brain and they've hatched, and brother, they don't have any brain anymore. They've gone berserk. They're crazy. Brother, I'll tell you, the Bible teaches me God will preserve a Jew. He's not through with them. He's put them on the sideline. They will be saved one day. And where's that fit in here? Well, let's go on. I'll show you. All right. Now we're in chapter number 24 of the book of Genesis. Chapter 24 takes up another thing. The first thing you'd think about Abraham. Now Abraham, in this scripture I'm reading tonight, is a type of God the Father. Isaac is a type of God the Son. And we haven't seen the Spirit yet. But we're fixing to in Genesis chapter 24. When we get to Genesis 24, what is on Abraham's mind now? He's just lost his wife. He's buried his wife. And if we look at it from the standpoint of man, the first thing that Abraham wants to do now, probably, if we look at it from the standpoint of man, is find himself a new wife. But not so. When we get to chapter 24, the Bible said, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. So what seems to be on Abraham's mind? Getting his son a bride. All right. Instead of getting himself a wife, he's going to find his son a bride. Hallelujah. Amen. What's that mean? He's done buried the Jew out of his sight. He's raised up the Gentiles. What's he called the Gentiles to do tonight? To go out in all parts of the world, preach and teach and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And what? We're to win men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ that will make up the bride of Christ. God in heaven tonight is interested in trying to find a bride for His Son, Jesus. Amen. So who does he get? He gets the servant. He gets the head servant here. He gets, in verse number 2, he gets the eldest servant. Now, I asked you this last week. I tell you, what is God's name? Amen. Jehovah. You remember me telling you last week, His name is Jehovah. Everybody knows Jehovah is the name of God the Father. We can give Him a lot more names. But basically, His name is Jehovah. What is the name of the Son of God tonight? Jesus. Amen. We call Him Jesus. He's also called Savior. He's also called Christ. His heavenly name is Christ. His earthly name is Jesus. His title on this earth is Lord. And we call Him Master. But we know tonight Jesus got a name. Now, the Holy Spirit, can I ask you tonight who the Holy Spirit's name is? You remember last week? He don't have a name. Spirit of God has no name. Amen. Have you ever been able to call the Spirit by name? All I can call the Holy Spirit, or God the Spirit. That's all I know Him as. He has no name. You know what? He's a type of this no-named or unnamed servant here. Abraham gets his eldest servant. Amen. And the Holy Spirit's the eldest servant of God. Hallelujah. You said, I'm a servant. You're not the eldest servant. Amen. The eldest servant dwells with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Now, let me tell you, he gets the servant. He said, I want you to swear to me you're going out. You're not going into the world to get my son a bride. Matter of fact, when you get home tonight, sit down and circle and read this chapter 24 again. And look how many times the word servant is mentioned. Look how many times the word damsel is mentioned. And look and see how many times that you can see in this the things that God has got. Amen for you. You'll see this. And you'll see how God is trying to get it across to us. So we find that this servant goes on the job. He's going out to do. What's the Holy Spirit do? He goes to get a bride. He's going back to Mesopotamia, where Abraham's from. He's going back to the house of Nahor. That's where he's going. He really don't know exactly who he's going to get. But as he's going, what's he do? And the servant says, and he prays to the father. He says, and he asks him, he said, what's the stipulation? Abraham says, here's the one of the stipulation. She's got to be willing. Don't you bring me back a bride that you have to grab by the hair of the head and throw up on the camel. Said, you go get me a bride and you bring her back because she wants to come back. Now the Lord's not going in the world today to get a bride for Christ and make you get saved. He'll give you the gospel. He'll preach to you. And you'll have your choice to make whether you want to get in or out tonight. And brother, God has made it that way. So we find this little, praise God, I can't hardly take much of this. But I'm telling you, he sent that little servant. That little servant goes down there and he said, what am I going to do? He said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to pray this. Lord, the first one that comes, or not the first one, but the damsel that comes out here, and I say, give me water. And she gives me water and she turns around and gives the camels water. I know she's the one. And if that don't happen, well, guess who the first one shows up? Amen. Would you like to look at that? Amen. The first one that shows up, I want you to look at it. We'll find is this woman by the name of what? Rebekah. Here she comes. All right. Look at verse number 11. And he said, and he made the camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that the woman or that the women go out to draw water. And it said here, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Who's he want to show kindness to? His master Abraham. Now look at this. There are some things we want to point out. And it said in verse 14, and let come to pass of that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness to my master. Amen. Now, look at verse number 15. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebecca. You remember underlining the word Rebecca just a chapter or two before, first time she'd been mentioned? God throwed her to us and said, hey, I want you to keep this in mind. All right, here she is. It said, Rebecca came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. To make the story a little short, here's what happened. He said to her to get drink, and she gave to him, and then she went ahead and gave to the camels. And he said, oh, this must be her. Now notice what happened. Let me look down in verse number 23. The Bible said, and said, whose daughter art thou? As she had done, well, let's go to verse 22. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. Amen. Can you see that? What a blessing. What a blessing that is. Now, I want to slip over to another verse right quick. And then I'm going to back up. Verse 36. There's just so much here running through my little brain. I want to try to get it in some kind of little order for you. In verse 36, the Bible said, and Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. I wanted to borrow that scripture for a moment. When this servant left, Abraham gave him everything that he needed, and he gave him the inheritance that he is going to give away, and brother Abraham would give everything away. Abraham didn't own anything anymore. Amen. Now, we still don't have no picture of Isaac here, do we? Turn in your Bible. Hold your place here. But turn in your Bible to John chapter 3, verse 35. John chapter 3, verse 35. John chapter 3, verse 35. The Bible said, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. Abraham's a type of God the Father. Isaac is a type of God the Son. And Abraham gave everything into the hands of the Son, Isaac. So has God also given everything into the hands of the Son. Go with me to John chapter 3 and look at verse number 13. John chapter 3 and verse number 13. I must have the wrong scripture. Let me see. Give me 16th chapter. 16th chapter. That's it. John chapter 16. When we go to John chapter 16. When we go to John chapter 16, look with me in verse number 13. The Bible said, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He's talking about the Spirit. That's who the servant is. Look at verse 14. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are what? Mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you. God has given Him everything, and He gives it to you and me. The servant does. The Spirit of God gives us the things of the Lord. Are you with me? Now, I like that. I appreciate what God has done. And we do give God the praise and the glory and the honor for what He is doing and what He is going to do. Now, we find that God has given that into the Son. Now, the servant now has come to her and He has given her something. What's He given her? He has given her a bracelet and some things out of chapter number 25. He's given those. And so, He's going to do something else. In a later verse, turn with me to chapter number 24 and go over to verse number 50. 24 and 50. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee good or bad or good." He's talking about taking her with him. He's done got her picked out. He's done give her something already. Now what's he give her? He give her a bracelet and a ring or whatever it was, the jewels. But in verse 51, "Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken." Now they've already give her away. Verse 52, "And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowed himself to the earth." Verse 53, "And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things." All right. What did he do? He gave some things to Rebekah earlier. But now, since she has said, or since she has already been given away, he's got to do something about that. Amen? I want you to turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. Hold your place. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians is a tremendous book to look at. Ephesians chapter 1. You said, "I hate all this Scripture going." Amen. Well, you hate studying the Bible then. Amen. What do you think a preacher has to do all week? Same thing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. "The Bible said, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Now what is that Holy Spirit of promise? Look at verse 14. "Which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory." Now what's the Lord done? When we said yes to the Lord Jesus and accepted Him in our heart as a Savior, you know what He's done? He's put a seal upon our soul. He said, "Hey, this is the earnest. I've already give you a seal." He's telling you, you're not going to lose it. You're mine already. You're my bride. Amen. I realize that a lot of people don't look at all that. Now, when He went away and gave to the family, I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 16. It said, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." He's put some more jewels on us. Put some more jewels on us. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible said this, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in you, or dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. What jewels He's placed in our keeping tonight. Amen. Now, go back with me to Genesis. Going back to Genesis chapter number 24. I'm about done. Genesis chapter 24. Looking in Genesis 24, I skipped a lot of stuff. Amen. I don't have time to preach it all tonight. But in Genesis chapter 24. Now you remember, Abraham said, she's got to be willing. You don't bring back a bride that's not willing. God's not going to force you to be saved. God's not going to make you be saved. Amen. He's not going to crack you on the head and beat you down and said, if you don't get saved, it is or not. No, God just offers it to you, gives you the plan of salvation. You say yes, sir, to the Lord, or you say no. You either go to heaven because you received Him, or you go to hell because you disbelieved Him. It's that simple. Now, get in verse number 55. Well, verse 54. "And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning." They was going to take her the next day, and said, "Send me away unto my master." And her brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. Brother, I want you to mark that word 10 for a minute. And we'll get back to that in just a minute. He said, "At least 10. After that she shall go." And he said unto them, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." This is the spirit or the servant. Verse 57. "They said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go." She's willing. Amen. Now the servant must another had another spell. He knows he's got the right one. And they call Rebekah. Amen. And said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, what? I will go. That's worthy of reading it twice. Now, verse number 59. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. Now, said she could stay 10 days. That's a testimony. But at the same time, you remember there's 10 commandments? Now, what's she doing? She's leaving them 10 days away. It's a type of the 10 commandments of the law. She walked out on the law and got into grace. Amen! Now, guess what? She's coming on the camel. Here she's going. She's on her way. She's going to the Father's house. She's going to see the Father's Son. The Spirit of God or the servant is taking her to meet the bridegroom. All right, look with me, please, in verse number 61. And Rebekah arose and her damsel, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now look at verse 62. And Isaac, hey, that's the first time you've seen Isaac since chapter 22. He's on the scene now. Are you with me? The Bible said, and Isaac came from the way of the well Lohi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. All right, what happened? She left her country. He left his country. Amen. One of these days, the Son of God is going to get the report from the God of God the Father. Son, it's time. And He's going to step up and come down in the clouds and to shout in the voice of the archangel. And the saints of God are in the grave are going to rise, and we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up. And brother, we're going to come up. We're going to leave our country. He's going to leave His country. We'll come together and forever we'll be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that what we talked about last week? But exactly the same thing. Now, I've left out a lot of stuff. I have. I'm sorry. I don't have time. And I didn't want to leave you hanging in limbo. But maybe we can go back and preach some of the other things that we didn't get. But we're not through. The servant gets back. We go to chapter number 25. We go to chapter 25. The God the Father, or Abraham now, has got himself a bride, or got a bride for his son. And his son, matter of fact, the Bible said here in verse 67, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. He took her back where? To the Father's house. Amen. That's where we're going. Amen. We're going back to the Father's house. Okay, chapter 25. Now everything seems to change. In chapter 25, then again, that's a connecting word, then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. That word Keturah means incense or perfume. You said, do you mean to tell me this is a type of God the Father? This is a type of the restoring of Israel. You remember last week I told you that when it's all said and done, brother, when it's all wound up and after the millennial reign and everything, God's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Listen, one of these days God is going to be joined back up with the Jews again. But the next time He rises up with the Jews, it will not be the same Jews. These will be born again, saved by the grace of God Jews. Brand new. Brand new bride. Brother, then it's not going to be any different from then on. Brother, we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth will pass away. It said that here in the Word of God. And then, of course, she had children by him. But we'll find in chapter 25, God don't take time now for His business anymore until He takes care of the Son. I want to close with this tonight. You watch these people tonight that's going around and they're majoring on the Spirit of God. You remember I preached a little bit this morning on the Spirit of God? You don't have to have the Spirit of God to praise and rejoice and tell God you love Him. We got such dry eyes and weak minds when it comes to glorifying God. But I want to tell you this. As I look at this tonight, and I praise the Lord that He does, the Holy Spirit, what does He do? He brags on Jesus. Every time that servant said anything, he talked about the Father's house. He talked about the Father's Son. He never talked about the Spirit. You've got to watch this crowd today that majors on the Spirit of God. Do you have the Spirit? Are you filled with the Spirit? Well, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. But I'll tell you what, the Spirit of God will not brag on flesh. The Spirit of God will not brag on the world. The Spirit of God will not brag on Himself. He will not brag on anybody but the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, this crowd today is talking about what the Spirit's doing in their churches, and they've got the gifts of the Spirit, and they're magnifying the Spirit of God. Brother, that is a disgrace to God. He wants to be recognized. Jesus paid the job, or paid the debt. He's done the work, and brother, He's the one that's due all the praise. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm through. Amen. Amen. Bow your head and close your eyes. There come the instruments. And let's stand. I'd like to have about another hour on this, and if I had the energy. Amen. But we need to recognize this. I told you that those Old Testament Scriptures shows us the same thing that I preached last Sunday night. But tonight, from the Old Testament, and God corresponds it. We can know this. Thank God for the reading of the Word of God. Now, if there's anything in your heart tonight that's not right, I wish you'd come. I desire you to come. The Spirit of God says, come. What is the life's message of the Spirit? The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Where's the Spirit at? In the midst of the church, which is the Bride. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let Him take of the water of life freely. And that's what the church and the Spirit's doing tonight, begging for a body to be complete, or a bride to be complete, so that Jesus can come. Search your heart tonight. Search it and make sure the devil has not given you a counterfeit. Search your heart.